Can be seated. I am here with my beautiful wife, Bethany, 6 months pregnant, with our 8th child. My daughter, Kayla, is also here. My oldest and my Miha are adopted in faith daughters here as well. So it's awesome to be here with you guys. What an honor and a privilege to be here. Pastors Joey and Judy are currently at our campus ministering, so we're excited to hear the results of that. But today, there's a word that's a good word that's kind of been stirring on my heart for about 6 months. Because sometimes it becomes a limit to a great thing. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 11, also touching a little bit in Luke 18. But I want you to look to the person next to you and say, are you ready to be unwrapped? You guys can't even keep eye contact on that, can you? You're like, because not only are you a gift, he's a gift. But you know what the cool thing is? Everybody loves gifts. We love spiritual gifts, amen? We love physical gifts, amen? You don't? Christmas is coming. Everybody heard that. But the thing about a gift is it can't be utilized until it's unwrapped. So today, God's going to be unwrapping some things in your life to raise up a gift that can be utilized, and that gift is the gift of faith. But there has to be some unwrapping and sometimes a little unraveling that we might get to the source, the true source of faith. I'm ministering a message today calling From Faithful to Faith. And that may sound contradictory, but you have to realize that we are saved by grace through faithful. No one reads their Bibles. We're saved by grace through faith. So without faith, it's impossible to be faithful. God is faithful. We are fickle. Even in our faithfulness, we're fickle. But without faith, you can never become faithful, right? It's we're saved by faith, and then we become faithful. But the problem is a lot of us settle on faithful, and we no longer activate our faith. So when you start expecting last week again, you've moved from faith to faithful, and God wants to move you from faithful to faith that you don't expect last week, you don't expect last month, you don't expect the greatest times of your life. You expect something you've never seen or experienced. That's faith. Come on, how many need something new? You don't even got to need it. How many want something new? Come on, there's something. When you get a new car and it smells new, you're like, and you know, I'm not talking about the new scent, the new car fragrance. I'm talking about a new car. And you get in, that's like something just about something new. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get around someone with faith, you don't have to guess. When you get around someone that's faithful, you might have to figure it out. But if you get around faith, you feel it. It moves you, it stirs you, it challenges you, and it changes you. So we are called to be faithful because God is faithful, but faithfulness is always birthed on more faith. Amen? So John chapter 11, verse 43 says, now when Jesus had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. There's times in our life when Jesus has already resurrected something, but it has to be unwrapped and loosened if it's ever going to be sent. Amen? So in the Message paraphrase, it says, they unwrapped him. He was already resurrected, but they unwrapped him. And we need to be unwrapped so that our heart becomes laid bare, that a new seed of faith can be planted. I tell you this, your greatest days are not behind you in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And your answer is? Three of you, the rest of you, and the answer is? Didn't mean to throw you off guard. Of course he will, because I am a man or a woman of faith. You need to declare that, because if you declare it, you can walk in. There's power in words. I mean, I heard a pastor once say, it's a good thing that Jesus said, Lazarus come forth, Because if he just would have said, come forth, everyone in the grave would have rose. Come on. It wasn't the one whom I love. They would all come. He just said, Lazarus, just you. Right? There's a day coming when that's going to happen. This ain't it. And be messing up the prophecies. So, you know, my son, he does all this stuff. And I took him golfing. He was in the golf cart. And he goes, Dad. And he hit a rock and goes, I'm done. Because there's something different from watching. The Bible says there's 10,000 teachers and few fathers. You don't graduate spiritual parents. It's amazing that someone with a PhD has to make a life choice. They don't call their teachers, they call their father. They call their mother. See, we're called to be spiritual parents. Teaching's important. Everything we do is important. But there's a relationship that builds trust. Trust is another word for belief, which is another word for faith. In the people we're talking. Amen? So, the word we're talking about is faithful. It's not a bad word. In fact, it's a good word with many positive qualities. Faithful is one who's strict or thorough in their preferred original. It is the functional process of who we are as believers in Christ. But listen to me. People don't get married and have one expectation of their spouse and the duty. I've done marriage ministry and people come and go, but I've never cheated on them. And I said, well, they were kind of hoping you'd be nice. Expected from God because he's faithful and he's put that within us. But he says, I've called you from faithful to faith. See, when you first got saved or you did something for the first time, it always took faith. Jesus' name. I remember the first time I had this pastor. He was like a spiritual tigger in worship. He was like, and he was like 6 feet tall and he had those phones that he like put on his hips. So, you know, and he had no, but I would meet with him and he started telling me about tithing. And I said, that's awesome. I want to start tithing. Honda. I said, that's a car payment. Do you know how much I make? But I stepped out in faith and I started tithing. You know what? After 3 months, someone paid off my car. Come on, you can give the Lord glory for that. I tithed ever since. He hasn't paid off any more cars. Go figure. But I remember what it was like to give the first time and the faith and the passion I had. But then I became faithful with the tithe. And God told me, when was the last time you gave and it felt like the first time? When was the last time an offering came around and you said, put down the wallet, grab the checkbook. And you can give here. It don't go to me anyway, so I don't care. So you do this, and then you start to experience that faith. And you realize that somewhere along the way, you just became faithful, which is okay. But God goes, where's your faith? When you stepped out and did something for the first time, you know, you felt that anxiety, that excitement. That's how we're called to live, not something we used to do. God's calling you to a life of faith. Because the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen, or I like to say it, not yet seen. So if it's substance, that's physical matter. That means it's something. So I was praying, going, God, what is it? It's something. I understand it's of things hoped for, but what is it? Then I realized he already told me. The shield of faith. Faith is a shield. You know what it's a shield to? Your faithfulness. Because if the enemy wants to turn a faithful man or woman unfaithful, he doesn't attack their faithfulness, he attacks their faith. Once they lose their faithfulness is exposed, and then we're shocked when the faithful become unfaithful. So the shield to being faithful is to keep moving in faith. When you stop moving in faith, your faithfulness will be challenged. Amen? Then we go from faithful to critical. It's cold in here. It's a little warm. Do you feel that? It's a little stage isn't like what I'm used to. And we become faithful critics instead of faith-filled Christians. Amen? There's no statue ever been erected for a critic. They're everywhere. What we need is some faith-filled Christians to disrupt the cycle. You're not excited because you realize, that's you. Look at the person next to you and go, that's you. You don't have the faith. I want to be thorough in my allegiance to him, constant in reciprocating his love and affections, adhering daily to the standards that he set for me. But no one makes me come to church. My wife sometimes, but no one else makes me come to church. It's funny, I was in Yuma one time, and someone came up to me, that's where I'm from, and they said, so I hear you're a pastor. Come on, shout out, one of you, throwing down. There's only three of us that live there, so you're there. So he goes, so I hear you're a pastor now. And I sit down, and he goes, how do you like that? And I go, well, that's all right, my wife makes me do it. Come on. But I am faithful. I don't wake up and decide to go to church. I removed the question in my mind years ago. So faithful is not about making the right decisions, about removing wrong ones. You know, I brush my teeth every morning. At night, I give myself choices. My faithfulness is wavering sometimes. But I've tried Malachi 3:10 and found it to be true. So I'm faithful to what God's showing me. But God says, you're faithful to what I've showed you in the past. But do you have faith for what I want to do in the future, or have you arrived? We would never say that by words, but in spirit we go, I'm doing all right. Good is the enemy of great in your life. God wants to do great. He says, greater things will you do because he's gone to the Father. How many have done greater things than Jesus? He's talking to us. Amen? We've done some good things. We've done some great things. But greater things only come according to your faith. According to your faith, let it be done unto you. I'm not in a contest. I don't live by comparison. I live unto God. He's faithful to me. He pours out his grace on me, and I'm honored. But God had no problem bringing in followers. When Jesus was on the earth, people just gathered around him. All they had to do was watch him preach. You know what I mean? Do some miracles. Sing like Israel. It's not written, but, you know, not everything was written in the Bible. He drew crowds somehow. I'm going to tell you what. So he did these things, and they would come and watch him preach, do miracles, make disciples, and establish the kingdom on earth. But then he transitioned, and out of the populace of the earth, he grabbed some and said, hey, you've been watching me. Let me show you how to do it. You see Israel's son? Showed him how to do it. That's as it is in the physical, as it is in the spiritual. So look at your neighbor and say, God is the God of transitions. That's a nice way of saying change. But his ultimate goal was to find those that are faithful and call them to faith. I had to challenge myself because at some point I felt like I was leveling off because I was doing what God called me to do. I did have my schedule, you know, and I do this, and I minister to people. And God said, but in your normal schedule, where there's room for faith to do something supernatural, and not supernatural stuff you did last week, what about supernatural stuff next week that you've never seen? It's like, well, have you ever raised anybody for the dead? I haven't actually prayed for anybody that was dead. We did a service once in a mortuary. But why haven't we? See, my daughter, she's here when she was little. She just got pinned with her bachelor's in nursing. But when she was little, we were in the grocery store. And she said, Dad, and I was having I don't have rough days because I'm a Christian. I was having a challenging moment. My wife and I, we don't have arguments. We have intense conversations. It's fellowship. It's completely different. You guys know what I'm talking about. So I was having a difficult time, and she goes, let's tell the people in front of us about Jesus. And I started manifesting. You know, I'm not there, but childlike faith wanted to minister, and worldly carnality did not. See, here's the deal. The longer you serve Jesus, the more excited and faith-filled you should be. You should be inspiring your children and the young people. They shouldn't be inspiring you. Other than you've already inspired them. Okay, how many people in here have been serving the Lord over 20 years? Raise your hand. Come on, let's hear you. Okay, people that have been serving the Lord under 20 years, let's hear you. You missed my point. The people that have been serving Jesus longer should be more excited and more faith-filled. So people over 20 years, let me hear you. Come on. God's best is yet to come. You haven't turned out, you're turning out. I don't care if you're 70. It's time. Walk in faith. He's got something new for you. Don't settle for last year. Are your testimonies still about 10 years ago? Me neither. Okay. Faith, or the pistos, means persuasion. It also means belief or choice, but persuasion. It is faith that moves the hand of God. It's faith that shapes the kingdom. It's faith that brings a miracle. Faithfulness is important, but all it does is maintain what you already have, but it'll never open your capacity for something new. And we're always nodding, but we're not changing. And God challenged me and said, you're supposed to be a pastor. I think I am. Where's your faith for something new? Are you reproducing last year's thing or doing it over and over? Where's your faith for something crazy? And it's great to be faithful, but it's supernatural to be filled with faith. I want to challenge you this week that God's going to give you a suddenly in your life. And you're going to do something in faith, and you're going to get that feeling like when you first received him. You're going to get that feeling when you stepped out for the first time. You're going to feel that crazy faith. It's going to rise up and affect everybody around you. Because when the faithful stop arguing and answering, and they get filled with faith and start imparting and passing, then the faithless get faith. That's called salvation. We don't have time to be saving the saved. Well, you know what, the church next door, if they did what we did... We have to save the lost. Amen? So Jesus came to complete this. He came to mobilize the people because faith moves. The Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion. Slow down in your faith and you become the first target. Amen? So we have to keep moving in faith. It's not works. It's an expression of our shield that protects our faithfulness. I had a pastor. He was so annoying. Many of them. Holy Spirit, temper me. So we were there and we were talking about every time someone would come to him and ask for help, he'd go, have you been sharing the gospel? Well, our finances, have you been sharing the gospel? You know, our marriage, have you been sharing the gospel? He goes, if you're not moving in faith, how do you expect to stay faithful? Still working on that one. But it's a thought. When you're moving in faith, God will take care of your faithfulness. See, the goal for a young person before marriage is not virginity, though it's worshiped in America. It's holiness. And if you focus on holiness, virginity takes care of itself. Listen, if you take care of your faith, faithfulness takes care of yourself because your shield's up. Amen? So faith says, God, I'm going to keep you in the driver's seat. I love that. God is my co-pilot. Probably not. Then more spiritual, God, I'm God's co-pilot. No, you're not even in the cockpit. You're lucky to be on the plane. That's how grace works. You know what I mean? It's better when you just ain't near the controls. You know what I'm saying? I was like, God, take my free will. That's the only way I'm going to do this right. But that's what faith does. It's the trust. And we don't have an uneducated faith, blind faith. We have an educated faith based on what we've seen and heard, the miracles and the power. So let me illustrate this for you. You're in a hotel, 10th floor. It's on fire. You bust open the window and you go out to the edge and you go, faith, I believe I can fly. I believe I can. I can't do it. Can't do it. Some of you get it. So I promise you, if you jump, you will meet Jesus quickly after deceleration syndrome or cement poisoning. That's blind faith. We don't live a faith like that. We live an educated faith. What that means, it's more like being in that same window and you see the fire department setting up one of those huge drop pads and you have faith in their ability to do their job and to catch you. Now, if you still don't think it takes faith to get out that window, you're crazy. But it's the trust, okay? We don't jump out and go, Jesus, I hope you got me. We go, Jesus, you do have me. I've examined it. You've moved me by faith. You have me. You're faithful. You'll never leave me nor forsake me because you are my God and you're greater than anyone in the universe. That's faith. He was raising up mighty men of faith. But in order to transition to faith from faithful, some things have to be unwrapped. You know, so our location's in Bethany, a couple miles from Jerusalem. You know, it's like Chandler, Gilbert. And Jesus knew Mary, Martha, and Lazarus to the point where he could come and go hang out at their house. They knew what he liked. They hooked up the carne asada. You know, he knew what was going on. So this is a close relationship. So Lazarus got sick. Now, how many of you have any nurses or doctors in your family? What do you do first time something happens or someone gets sick? Hey, I'm going to send you a picture. It's a mosquito bite. Go to bed, right? So we do that. So they had the hookup with the ultimate healer. Lazarus is sick. They're going, no problem. We've seen Jesus heal the guy by the gate. We've heard stories. He's known as a miracle worker and a healer. We got the personal hookup with the healer, right? So we sent a direct message, not a Facebook, Instagram, you know, direct text message. Jesus, I love this. She says, the one whom you love is sick. I just had to go get all spiritual. Couldn't say Lazarus. Now, hold on. Faithful people and religious people know how to put pressure on by using spiritual terminology. Hello. So she says, the one whom you loved is sick. So first thing we need to unwrap is your perceptions. We need to unwrap our perceptions, then we need to unwrap our expectations, and then we need to unwrap personal responsibility. So when it comes to perception, they were familiar with Jesus' teaching. They've had him in his house, right? They got word directly to him. They had the inside track, and it's like, Jesus, just do what we want you to do. You ever been like that? Lord, look, you don't got to figure it out. Just do what I'm asking. No? John 11:3 says, they said to him, Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick. We're not just anyone. We're the ones you love. Feel the manipulation in that? You love us. So you know what you can do to upset faithful people? Two things. Number one, sit in their seat at church. If they sit there 3 weeks in a row, just sit there both services. Make sure you stay. They'll come and act like they're not bothered, and they'll go, like they're confused, like an ant that lost the trail, and they're all annoyed. Oh, how dare that new person sit in my seat? This is where the anointing is. The other thing that frustrates a faithful person is just ignore them. I had a guy one time, we were driving, he goes, hey, pastor, we're driving from Yuma to Phoenix. You want to pray for 3 hours? I said, no. I said, I prayed this morning already. What I want to do is relax and listen to music. Is that okay? You're like, I don't know. Me either. I'm asking. Come for help. Judy's here. Judy, is that okay? Okay. I need some. So they start to work the dialogue in their favor, right? And so this is the perfect recipe for misconceptions of God. When you tell God, here's what I need you to do, and you need to do it like you always do, and you need to do it like you did it in 1985, and do it like this, and he does it and ignores you, now you have an opportunity for misperceptions. You've done it before, why can't you do it again? Maybe God's not with me, contrary to Scripture. See, we start having a misperception of God because he's not operating. We say, don't put God in a box at church, and then we do it in our minds every day. Don't worry about church, you're fine. Worry about your life. Because you're limited, the Bible says, by your own affections, the things that you gravitate to. You limit him according to your openness. That's why you have to be unwrapped in your perception. See, they saw him as the healer. But they didn't see him for everything else he could do. So now she tells us in John 11:21-20, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know whatever you ask God, he'll give to you. Kind of the surrender, right? And now, you got to understand, she was upset. Her brother's dead. She knows he could have healed. I think it was like, Lord, if you were here, all due respect, this wouldn't have happened. Right? You ever feel that way towards God? Lying is a sin. So Martha had a perception issue and was probably even a little bit rude, like faithful people can get. We see Jesus for what he's done, and we expect him to perform based on past experiences that people have told us, we've read about, or we've experienced personally. So in his faith-infusing way, he ignores her question. She asks him something, makes a statement, and he ignores her, and he says this, "Do you believe this, that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that your brother will live again, and you can transition hope of him rising in the last day?" See, she started saying, "I understand that he'll raise in the last day." She had hope that Jesus could heal him before he died, and she had hope he could raise him the last day. What she didn't have is faith he could raise him today. See, stop hoping for one day and believe God for today. Amen? Faithfulness is like, one day God's going to do some great thing. Faith says, I want it now. And God, you know, he does it in his own time. God's always on time, but I wish he'd be early sometimes. Like, you don't have to leave. I could pray about other stuff. Drag me out. Say this with me. Heal my perception, Lord. Help me move past beyond experiences. And I speak, he's going to give you a new revelation as a new person in your life. He's going to break your perception, and he's going to expand your capacity for something greater in your life. So number two is unwrap expectations. After the Lord deals with our perception, he immediately attacks our low expectation. She said he wouldn't have died. See, they weren't in the back rehearsing lines, their brother had died. They were having a real conversation with somebody that they cared about. And Jesus was known as a mighty healer. But you got to understand this. The labels we wear may limit what people will believe we can do. Hold on. The labels we wear, job, occupation, role in the church, titles, can limit people's perception of us and limit what we could potentially do in their life. Amen? So when you shed those, I'm not saying that labels are important. People have roles and positions. But don't be limited by your title. Be limitless by your God. Amen? Faithful people hold on to the present and look for the answer to come somewhere way in the future. I like when people say, you'll figure it all out in heaven. I don't see that promise. Sorry, not in my notes. So then, John 11:40, it says, and Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? He didn't say one day. The word believe is the same root word, the word of faith. If you have faith, you will see the glory of God. You know that song that says, from glory to glory to glory to glory? No, faith, the faith, the faith, the faith brings you to see the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. One leads to the other. You want to see his glory? Have faith. So they had low expectations. You ever went and saw a movie that you thought wasn't going to be very good and it kind of surprised you? And you're like, no, it wasn't bad. And then someone hyped up one you went and saw it and you're disappointed? See, your expectations determine your attitude. Jesus doesn't work that way. If you have low expectations, he'll exceed them. If you have high expectations, he'll exceed them. He'll always exceed your expectation. And most people don't get what they want. They get what they expect. You need to start expecting more and believing for. Have faith and God will do more. That's his promise. And I know you've been let down. And I know your perception's been wrong. And I know we haven't done the right things. But I'm telling you, if you raise your expectations, you shed your initial perception, and you walk in, he'll do greater things in you starting today. Faith declares the kingdom come now. Thy will be done now. The resurrection comes now. My miracle comes now. My family be saved now. The healing's coming now. Now, now, says faith. And then we turn it over to God's timing, but we come with a now spirit in faith. And unless a man of faith had shown up, they'd have got exactly what they expected. I love when faith starts to command the faithful. You didn't get it. When faith will always show up and command the faithful, and when the faithful takes personal responsibility, their faith will be lifted. You all need a faith lift today. It's free, and it'll make you look better in Jesus. John Maxwell once said, he said, I look it in the mirror, and I said, John, you are not a handsome man. He said, and I smiled and said, well, it didn't fix the problem, but it helped. Jesus and faith makes you look better than you are. That's why I'm married to my wife. I have great faith. So So we have to raise the expectancy bar. Some just set them so low. They don't have to use much faith, but you got to use some. I know we've been disappointed in the past, but we have to move past it. There's a time you have to move past. It's like I used to, when I was a lifeguard, I trained children and some adults how to swim. And the children would get on the side of the pool. It was so funny. They get on the side of the pool and they start going, "I'm swimming. I'm a dolphin." You know, and they're doing all this and they're going, and you're like, you're not swimming. "I'm swimming. I'm doing it." That's like we do sometimes. And it goes, "No, you're not swimming until you let go. You're not moving in faith till you let go." And sometimes it's hard. We got one finger on the wall. Let go of your faithfulness and move to faith, because that will guarantee your faithfulness. God told Peter, "Wake up, kill and eat." "Surely, Lord, I have no unclean animals ever come to my mouth. I'm faithful, God." He goes, "Faith. All right, bacon." You have to allow God to move you from an old mindset to a new level of faith. Look, there's nothing new that's true, and there's nothing true that's new, but God's word is true, and when he speaks, you need to move according to the word, not according to your experience. So when that happens, expectation starts to rise. I love Jesus in this prayer. He says, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me and that I know you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing here, I said this." Why do we pray out loud so our kids can hear? See, Jesus wasn't praying for his faith. He was praying so they would have faith, right? That's why we pray out loud, so other people can experience the faith that we carry. When you do that, it's powerful, and it unlocks a realm of supernatural thinking that can go in and give someone faith that has none. You're planting the seed. Jesus didn't cry out, "Master." He cried out, "Father." See, when you talk to God like he's your master, your expectations are low, and you try to be faithful to what he's told you to do. When you call out to your Father, you ask, receive, grow, change, and become like him. Seek him as your Father. Talk to him and see if he doesn't do crazy things in your life. When you talk to him like your Father, your expectations rise, your faith grows, and now the miraculous is made possible. So I challenge you to unwrap your low expectations and divorce your old way of thinking. Let's get to point three. Unwrap personal responsibility. After Jesus dealt with the faithful misconceptions and the low expectations, he moved them right into faith. I love this. I always picture, why didn't Jesus, I think kind of weird, I mean, I know you get that. I just think, why didn't Jesus go and have the stone roll away and be like, or like touch it, you know, do a Jacob, "Look how strong I am, love me." Different story. But he said, "You roll away the stone." See, he already had faith to move the stone. He needed them to have faith. He said, "You move the stone." Faith commands the faithful. And they said, I'll use the King James, "He stinketh." There's a foul odor. He's been in here for days. You know what? When you start to roll away the stone of your thinking, sometimes it stinketh. Worship sometimes is messy, right? But God brings it up so he can deal with it, because if you won't roll away the stone, he can't loose it in your life. So he says, "You roll away the stone." That's personal responsibility. You have to roll away the stone. I'm here. I've resurrected something in you, but you have to unroll the stone. You have to unwrap your thinking, and you have to be sent forth into what you're called to do. See, when faith shows up, you don't need ceremonies. You don't need cool speeches. When faith shows up, you see God move. Amen? So what God's looking for is men and women of faith. When they show up to somewhere, God moves. That's who you are. I believe that. He didn't gather you here just to gather you. He gathered you to plant something in you, to give you the gift of faith, that when you walk out of here, there's going to be a suddenly in your life this week. You're going to do something. You're like, "It's going to be crazy." Right? Picture Moses. Million people. What are you going to do? "I'm going to raise my stick." I always wonder if it was like 5 minutes. So if like he had his eyes closed and he kind of opened one. "God, you better do something." Leave you right on the edge. See, faith helped Moses lead all the people from slavery across the Red Sea. His faithfulness kept him from crossing the Little Jordan. How can someone that parted the Red Sea not cross the river? Because he remembered the deliverance and forgot the promise. He got stuck in the wilderness, but he never moved to the promised land. Look, maybe you're in the wilderness today and you've been faithful, and God honors that. Listen to me, he honors it. I honor you. But he's calling you across the river to faith. He has one thing for you. That's it. More. Come on, let's be standing. Come on, let's be standing in this place. When faith speaks, it doesn't always have to be an eloquent prayer, and I'm not against eloquent praying, but when faith speaks, it sounds something like this: Lazarus, come forth. That's what I want to get. I want to get so good and so impassioned that I can do drive-by ministry. Be healed. Point at a distance. Bam. You know. When faith moves, you're already persuading God by your faith, not your words. Your words are only as powerful as your faith that's connecting to the promise and the word of God. Look, I prophetically speak this over you. You are a man or a woman of great faith. Stop resisting it. You are a man or a woman of great faith. Man, this sermon's busted me up. And I've been kind of going through this, and God keeps showing me more and more and more, and I don't know how much I can bear, but he showed me that Peter went from faithful to faith. And then the rich young ruler met Jesus, said, what do I got to do to get it in the kingdom? And he goes, well, to do all these things. He goes, I've done them all since I was young. I've been faithful. And Jesus said, go sell everything you have, and come and follow me. He challenged his faithfulness with faith, and it says the man went away sad. My wife says, he didn't have to go away sad. He could have stayed sad. Not stayed sad, you get it. Because giving away everything can make you sad for a moment, but when you sow and the harvest comes in, you'll be rejoicing like never before. So why does God want to move you from faithful to faith? One reason. The Zacchaeus. It was probably just a couple days after Jesus met the rich young ruler that he walked in and Zacchaeus climbed the tree. Tax collector, jacked up. And Jesus said, come down, I must eat with you. Him and his family were saved. Because Jesus showed up on the scene with faith, the faithful didn't go to faith. Come on. The unfaithful. The unworthy. The sinner. The jacked up people. Come to faith. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as you're in here today and you're faithful, go to faith that the unfaithful people will find faith through you. The love of God. If you're in here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, he doesn't care if you've been faithful or unfaithful. He cares about this moment and this day. And you might not have any faith, but he has faith in you. And you only need the faith of a mustard seed. And to take personal responsibility and step out. If that's you and you need to give your life to Jesus today, we want to pray for you. Raise your hand right now in faith. Move, move. Amen, amen. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, keep your hands up in faith. Come on, you're like Moses with the rod. Come on, hands are going up. Come on, faith builds on faith. Anybody else? The Bible says a party's going on in heaven. Something needs to happen in the church. Come on, church. You're the most important people here today. We love you and are thankful for you. We're going to pray for you, and I want to encourage you. Everyone that's born is born into a family. Get connected. This is an amazing place with amazing people. Let me just pray for you. Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm going to live by faith all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got one more thing. If this was my church, I'd have taken bags of mustard seeds and scattered it, but I don't have to clean it up and I get in trouble. So I can't do it physically, but I'm going to do it spiritually right now. The Bible says if you have faith of a mustard seed, So I'm going to spiritually start scattering seeds and believe that each and every one of you are going to get a kernel. Each and every one is going to get a seed, a mustard seed of faith that's going to grow and start to do crazy things in your life. Listen to me, right now I impart the gift of faith. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. Receive it. The gift of faith. 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 Receive it right now and let the Lord do great things. God bless you.